But it's time to talk a little hockey. Elliot Friedman is on here with us for his weekly segment. The Nashville Predators are down in South Florida tonight. It's an ESPN Plus game. That's why I'm in the studio hanging here with the guys. I didn't try to sneak out of work to watch the March Madness, Elliot, just to... I do have my reason. It's an excused absence, not being with the Predators. Right,
I know what your reason is. You don't want to have to pay for ESPN Plus, so you come to the studio, so your work pays yes. for it. Like, we all know what this is.
Fringe benefits, for sure.
But I got to tell you guys, I wanted to tell you something. So I was down at the GM meetings, and of course, Barry Trotz is there representing the Predators. And I know this story is going to sound a little bit unbelievable because I was in the gym, but I saw Trotz in the gym, and man, he is still strong. Like, when he comes on your station, you guys better be careful with your questions because he was pushing those machines around, man. He may no longer be coaching, and he may be behind, and maybe in an office now. But that man can still pack a wallop. He is one strong, strong guy.
So interesting. So you were down there. The GM's meetings are going on. We'll ask you about the rule changes here in a moment. But just what's the buzz? You've got Florida, who I think a lot of people would say has as good a chance as anybody of winning the whole thing. Yeah. They're loaded. And you've got Nashville mm-hmm. trying to set a franchise record for a point streak. Tonight would give them the outright record at 16. So a great test for Barry Trotz's crew.
Well, I think Florida is the best team in the East. And I think top to bottom, when everybody's healthy, I think they're the best team in the East. And they've played like it all year. Boston's a little ahead of them in the standings, but they do have two games in hand. So we'll see where that goes. But they've been legit. They play a mean, mean game of hockey. They've got good skilled players, but they play tough. Like, they're sore losers. If they're about to lose, the scrums are coming, and that's kind of their identity. And they're okay with that. So, I'm a big Florida guy. I like their team. You guys are on a roll, no question too. It's one of the best games of the night tonight. It's one I'll definitely be watching and looking forward to. But when I rank the teams in the Eastern Conference, I have Florida at number one.
Elliot, I think a lot of the listeners here who have been watching this streak want to know, how much do you think they have closed the gap on the heavyweights? Tonight will be another litmus test. But they've gone to Winnipeg and won decisively. They've beaten Colorado during this stretch. They've won at Vegas. Yep. They won at L.A. And so is the perception maybe starting to change a little bit?
No, I don't think it's starting to change. I think it has changed. I think people have looked at you guys very differently for some time now. And I think, first of all, you've got a lot of players there that people really respect. Ryan O'Reilly, Ryan McDonough, Forsberg, Yossi, Saros, and there's more. Like, there's just a lot of respected players. And secondly, I think the fact that, again, when you subtract a guy like Trenin, you go out and you bring in a guy like Zucker, like, you guys are serious. So I think there's that. You guys play a really up-tempo game. You try to, like, some teams, they want to score, but they don't really want to score. Like, you guys, although it's a lot harder to play that way now in this league, you guys really try to score. Push the pace, get the puck up the ice, let's go. And I'll tell you the other thing. Like, I did have someone say to me at the GM meetings, and it was not Barry. It was someone else. And they said, look, like, there's all this talk about Yossi for Norris. I had some people say to me, you guys should start thinking about him for the heart. Like, he's having that kind of a season. So it's hard for defensemen to win the Hart Trophy. It doesn't happen very much at all. I think the last one was Chris Pronger. I'd have to double-check that, which would be about 2000. But I had some people mention that to me. No, you guys are pretty legit. Like, in the Western Conference right now, where the first round of the playoffs is going to be ridiculous, like, nobody's standing there if you're not for real. There's too many good teams there.
Now, Elliot, looking at the remainder of the season, From your experience, because there are about, you know, 3-4 teams possibly that can win the President's Trophy. When you're at this point in the season, what are you thinking as one of these top tier teams? Are you thinking more so about let's just stay healthy and going to the playoffs healthy, or are you really thinking about getting that number one overall seed?
I think this. I mean, your number one thing is always health.
Exactly.
Number one thing, Derek, at this time of year is always health. You don't want anyone getting hurt in a meaningless game. I will say this, though. You will hear coaches say to you, in a huge game, you always want to be at home. You know, you always want that game seven at home. You want that last change. You want the familiarity. You want that crowd behind you. But I think that will always be second to getting into the playoffs healthy. Always second.
Now, with that being said, the Predators, where they sit at that number one spot of the wild card, do you think there's a chance for them to move up, or you just think they're too far behind, say, Dallas or Colorado or some of these other teams that are above them?
Well, I think it's going to be really tough. You know, you're 9 points back. Like all these teams, you're 9 points back of them. Colorado's at the same number of games. You've got one in hand on Dallas, and Winnipeg's got one on you. I think you guys are pretty locked in. Now, maybe it's possible you sneak up or I think your bigger worry right now is just making sure that, although it doesn't really matter, whoever you play is going to be incredible. It does it matter to you if Vegas catches you for the first wild card? Nah, maybe it does, you know, because that means you're probably not playing as well. But honestly, I don't think you're catching those guys, Derek. I just think it's too far. I mean, one of them would have to have a collapse like you guys are having a surge right now for you guys to catch them. That's a lot to ask in 12 to 14 games.
Now, with the injuries that the Predators have had over the last week or so, it's turning out to be sort of a smart decision, maybe it wasn't a decision. Maybe, you know, there just wasn't anybody out there willing to trade for who am I thinking of? Barry. Yeah, Tyson Barry. No one was able to trade for him. And now, because of the injuries, he's playing key minutes for you, and he's doing well.
Yes. Well, number one, I'm happy for him because it's been a hard year. Like he wanted the trade, they couldn't get it done. It's really hard. Like Derek, you played. That's a really hard situation to be in. But the funny thing about sports, especially hockey, is because of injuries and things like that, weird things happen. What is true today may not be true tomorrow. And that was clearly the case in Barry's situation. And when you're in those situations, there's only one thing you can do, and that's deliver. You're being given an opportunity. You've screamed for this opportunity all year. You want this opportunity. And this is why teams like having eight defensemen, especially in the Western Conference with a team like Nashville. Like, you guys are one of the most easternmost teams in the Western Conference. Your travel makes it harder on you guys, especially in the postseason. So you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know what? We think we need seven guys. We need eight. And this is why. And so suddenly he gets an opportunity. And when life gives you the opportunity, you better take it. I'm really happy for him. I'm glad it's working out because people are watching. Like, this is the time of year where people are really watching because the games get bigger, the games get meaner, it's harder to fight for every inch on the ice, and the better Tyson Barry plays, the more someone's going to look at him and go, huh, like look at them giving them good minutes at this time of year. Maybe he can help us next season. That's important because Tyson Barry's not just playing for the Predators now, he's playing also for his future, and if he plays well, it's going to end better for him.
That's a great point. Elliot Friedman is with us. 32 Thoughts, the podcast, Hockey Night in Canada. Elliott, D-Mace mentioned Vegas, who Nashville has surged past in the standings for now. Yep. But as you mentioned, there's probably a lot of thought of at some point Nashville is going to come back to earth here. You can't win every game down the stretch. Hopefully they don't go completely the other direction. But Vegas, I was looking at their schedule. They've got two with Vancouver. They've got at yep. Winnipeg. They've got at Edmonton. They've got a game with Colorado. Yep. They don't yep. exactly have a soft way to coast into the playoffs, and I'm just wondering if Minnesota or St. Louis could make a run at them. Like, they've got some work to do to make sure they get in.
They do, and I think a lot of us are a little bit surprised at that, Willie. We didn't think it would be so hard for them to make it to this spot, to make it in and settle their place. Their goaltending has been a little more suspect, I think, than some of us expected. And look, you guys have sorrows. You guys sleep easy at night. They haven't slept as easy at night recently. I think the thing, like Minnesota, like that game last night, they got pumped.
That was not good.
In LA. Yeah, that's like, you can't do that at this time of year. I mean, look, I understand you like can lose a game 3-2, 4-2. You can't be losing 6-0 in a game you absolutely have to have. So now Vegas has two games in hand and they're 3 points up. And also Minnesota has a couple of really bad injuries. Brodin sounds like it's a reasonably significant injury. So I don't know. To me, if it's going to be someone, it's going to be St. Louis. They're 4 points back. Vegas is a game in hand. I don't know about you, Willie. You watch a lot. I don't see Vegas missing the playoffs with their lineup. But one of these two teams, like at the bottom of the East, it's like almost like nobody wants to make the playoffs. They all keep losing. Minnesota or St. Louis is going to have to put some pressure on Vegas here. Even though they're within striking distance, they're really not doing it. And Minnesota really blew a good opportunity last night.
And I would say that St. Louis has an easy schedule down the stretch. And they have a big game where they host Vegas here next week. So that's just something to watch. Yep. I'm with you. I'll believe it when I see it.
Races.
That Vegas doesn't. We love the races. We love the races. Yep. All right. So speaking of the race, Elliott, you mentioned Roman Josi. The first 6 or 7 games, it really wasn't there for him. I think he had no goals in one sense. He didn't have a goal until almost the end of the first month in October. Mm-hmm. But now he's made this surge. He's had a huge week. He's made key plays at key times, 7 points in the last 3 games. Barry Trotz called him the best defenseman on the planet on our station earlier this week. But where in your mind is he in the Norris race? Because he's not alone.
No, I think there's like Cale Makar is always in the race, and he's had a great year. Quinn Hughes from Vancouver is in the race, and he's had a great year. But I think Josi's right with them. And so, like, off the top of my head, I'm trying to think if I'm missing anyone here. I'm sure I'm missing
someone. Bouchard
has
big numbers. Victor Hedman has big numbers.
But Bouchard is not on the level of these guys. He's getting better. He's only going to get better, but he's not in their class. Hedman is a great player. He's going to the Hall of Fame. This year, I don't see him in their class. So for now, off the top of my head, with the admission I might not be thinking of someone in the short term, these are the 3 guys for me. And, you know, to me, I think Makar, top to bottom, is probably the best defenseman in the league. But that doesn't necessarily mean you always win. Hughes has had a phenomenal year on a team that was not expected to do well and could win the Western Conference. Josi is having a ridiculous year on a team that looked DOA in the middle of the season and now looks like it's going to make the playoffs. Like, I always think, guys, in voting, the player who does well when they're not expected to gets an edge. Now, maybe I'm wrong, but this is just my experience. So to me, Makar is the best defenseman in the league, but both these guys have had massive seasons on teams that weren't expected to be that good, and I know that voters can really fall for that kind of a story.
All right, last thing. You've got Andrew Brunette coaching against the Panthers tonight in Florida for the first time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was a Jack Adams nominee as the interim coach. And so it's obviously a very interesting storyline, the kind of one that you guys are all over up in Canada. It's got a lot of good stuff. Because Andrew Burnett has been asked a few times, and he said, yeah, it hurt that they didn't keep me. And it certainly worked out great for the Panthers because Paul Maurice has done great things there, for sure. So this year, do you think, and of course, I'm one of the voters on this, is for the Jack Adams, but I have to believe there's momentum now for Andrew Burnett again to be nominated for that award.
I would think so. I know for a lot of the year, it's been on Tocket. And again, it's
deservedly
similar to what
so.
We just talked about with Quinn Hughes, because Tocket, they've been racing towards the top of the Western Conference. You would know this better than me, Willie, because you have a vote and I don't. But look, I could see either one of them, but I know I've heard a lot of Tocket. I think for a long time, it was kind of like Tocket was the lead horse and other people had to catch him. I don't know if that's changed, but I do know that Burnett would certainly be in the running for sure.
Yeah, hard to knock. Tocket has been so good and so have the Canucks. It'd be interesting if that were the first-round opponent for the Predators, which is possible. It is possible. We're all eyeing these teams. Elliot, the good thing is here, it's been a lot of fun. Everybody's kind of buzzing here. So much momentum on the season here. You fill out brackets, Elliot?
You know what? I didn't this year. I just didn't get a chance to. I broke in covering basketball, and I used to watch. When I was a teenager, I used to tape the whole NCAA tournament and watch it again in the summer. That's how big a college basketball fan I was. But I just don't get the chance now. Although I was talking to Nick, the producer, and he told me that Creighton was on the ropes. So did they win or did they lose?
They're still playing, but University of Tennessee is a 2 seed. Creighton is the 3, and they're part of the bracket. So that would open things up for the Big Orange.
I know where you guys are all leading.
And that's,
where's Carolyn today?
Caroline's. How do you go on vacation during March Madness? I still don't get this. She better be having a lot of fun. Maybe it's just because she wants to watch these games.
Of us. She's probably watching games.
Exactly.
I bet you she pays for ESPN Plus, Willie.
Oh, yeah, no question. She's beachside somewhere, relaxing with a drink, watching all these games for sure. All right, final thing, Elliot. Nick reminded me, we had a great show yesterday. We don't do this frivolously, right? But this line for the Predators of Kiefer Sherwood, Michael McCarron, Cole Smith, all league minimum guys. They start every game. They're doing an unbelievable job energizing the team and all that stuff. So we tried to come up with a fun nickname for the line. We got about 100 different things yesterday. Some of them were really funny. Some of them were good. But what's your favorite nickname of a line, and how long does a line have to stay together before they deserve a nickname?
Well, you know what? I think if you're starting every game, you earn a nickname. Like that's just not a frivolous line. I've seen coaches do that before with fourth lines or energy lines. And so that means you're respected internally. I was just thinking as you were listening to it, I was listening to you, and if they're all making the minimum salary and they're starting the line, starting the game to go at the opponent, maybe you guys should call them the minimizers, because minimum salary and they're minimizing the opponents.
I like that.
I'm not usually that good. Like that one just came to my head right now. You know, I'll say this. I always loved, when I was a kid, there was a line in Buffalo and they played for the Sabres, and one of the guys, Gilbert Perreault, is in the Hall of Fame. And his two line mates were Rick Martin and Rene Robert, and they're all great players. And their nickname was the French Connection, after one of my favorite movies, Gene Hackman, the French Connection, one of my favorite movies I've ever seen. So I always loved the idea of the French Connection. I thought it was a great name, and it just brought me back to my childhood.
Oh, man, that's a good one. That's good. Of course, with Pete Weber and his ties to the Sabres and Jerry Helper, they know all about the French Connection for sure. Elliot, great stuff. Yeah. Great to catch up with you, and we'll do it again next week.
Minimizers.
Minimizers. Okay, I'm taking this to the proper authorities here. That would have, that definitely would have scored high on the list. We gave away tickets yesterday to the best one. The working 9 to 5 line, the 9 to 5 line, yeah. The Dolly Parton, the Nashville, clocking in, working, blue collar, that kind of rose to the top. We had a couple other good ones too, the Discount Dogs and the Lumber Line.
I like the Discount Dogs. I like that one. That's a good one.
Not bad. Not bad. And then you throw there's always these, throw the three names together. Mm-hmm. So Smith, McCarron, and Sherwood. We had the Smackwood.
Smackwood. I like Smackwood.
So there you go. It's still a work in progress. Yes. It's still a work in progress.
Hey, you got creative listeners. I like Discount Dogs. I like that one. That's a good one. I like that one.
All right. Ellie, we'll talk again next week. Good stuff.
All right, guys. Take care. Bye-bye.